Today marks a significant milestone for a piece of transformative technology. Here's how it was described more than a decade ago.
A widescreen iPod with touch controls, a revolutionary mobile phone, and a breakthrough internet communications device. Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
That was the late Steve Jobs, the former CEO of Apple, describing the very first iteration of the iPhone, which went on sale 10 years ago today. Since then, more than a billion of them have sold, and they have changed our lives, as if you didn't know. We depend on them to browse the internet, to find our way around town, to take pictures, to watch TV and movies, to hold our grocery lists. And sometimes, as Hiawatha Bray says, we even use them to make phone calls. Hiawatha writes about technology for the Boston Globe, and he's with us to talk about 10 years of the iPhone. And Hiawatha, you call it the gadget of the century. Can you remember the world before the iPhone and remind us what it was like?
It's almost impossible to remember a world without the iPhone, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
Because it has completely changed the way we do almost everything.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it this way. They did not invent the smartphone. Smartphones existed. Believe it or not, the leading smartphone vendor at the time would have been Microsoft. People were actually using this incredibly crude system called, Microsoft Windows Mobile. And it was awful. There was also the BlackBerry, of course.
Yeah.
But nobody had ever figured out a way to do what the iPhone really was. And everybody kept calling them phones, as we still do. But what happened with the iPhone was that it is clear that from beginning to end, top to bottom, what they were really trying to create was the first really usable pocket computer, because that's what it was. It was the first computer where you could stick it in your pocket and then do all the stuff you normally would do on a computer with a device that fit in your pocket. And that ability has literally changed the world. And you know, it's really one of the most fascinating stories about it is one that a lot of people have forgotten. For the first year after the iPhone comes out, it's reasonably successful, but it doesn't change the world. And the reason why is because Apple didn't want to allow other people to write software to run on it. They said, oh no, if that happens, there'll be all kinds of bugs and viruses. It'll be a complete disaster. We're only going to put our own software on it. But after begging and pleading from all kinds of software developers who said, oh man, you'd be amazed what we could do with this thing if we could just write software for it, they opened the App Store.
Oh boy, and so that made a huge difference. Yeah.
That was the moment.
Hiawatha, you wrote that
people just invented an incredible array of things you could do with it.
Right. When you saw the very first iPhone, what did you think of it? I mean, did you see, wow, this is something, or did you miss the magic?
Not this time. I remember when Jobs made his great comeback and they brought out the first iMac. The first Mac with the ones that had looked like a gigantic cough drop with the weird colors and everything.
Yeah.
I said, this is going to flop. This is going to fail. I was totally, totally wrong.
Hmm.
I did not make that mistake with the iPhone. And the reason was I actually picked it up and touched it. And the moment I picked it up and started using it, I realized that I could almost feel the planet shifting under my feet. And I'll tell you the reason why. The moment I touched it, I knew exactly what to do. I didn't have to read a manual. I didn't have to figure it out. It was the most intuitive piece of high technology I have ever seen. Anybody, a grandmother, anybody could pick it up and they just knew what to do with it. And I was shocked. I've never seen anything that well designed. To this day, I've never seen anything that well designed.
Interesting. You know, you mentioned the computing power in these little phones, and it's worth remembering, and I love this fact, and correct me if I'm wrong further define this, but the first computers, I don't know, 40 or 50 years ago, took up, what, two or three rooms at MIT?
Yeah.
And I'm told that the little phones that we carry around in our pockets have more computing power than those computers that used to fill up a couple of full rooms.
No, literally millions of times more.
It's incredible.
It's not even in the same universe. I mean, the computer that was used to land people on the moon had like about 64 kilobytes of memory in it. It's unbelievable. I mean, good grief. Practically every digital device we own, a digital watch has more power than
it's
the computers
amazing.
Of those days.
So it's a revolution. Has the revolution been entirely for the good, in your view?
Almost entirely. I'm trying to think of negative aspects of it.
I can think of one. Distracted drivers, distracted spouses, distracted children.
Yeah, but you know, I have problems getting too worked up about that, because that's about, you know, the way people use these technologies. Mm. And I don't see it's, it's necessarily the technology's fault. I suppose there are other things, like the fact that it has further eroded our privacy, not so much because of the devices themselves, but because we allow ourselves to be tracked by them. Cell phones have always tracked us, but the cellular network tracking is relatively crude. It's like accurate to within half a mile. You put GPS on these things, and suddenly these guys are tracking you to within a few feet, and they're doing it constantly everywhere you go. That's a real issue. That's a real problem. By the way, interesting little tidbit. The original iPhone did not have GPS. It was shocking. They left it out.
Interesting. Hey, Hiawatha, literally, we have just seconds left, but give me a prediction. What does the iPhone look like, I don't know, 10 years from now?
I don't know. I mean, you could make a good case that we won't have iPhones in 10 years because increasingly, I was just at MIT and they were talking about weaving semiconductors into your clothes. It's not unimaginable that everything you wear will be a computer. And conceivably, you might just have a Bluetooth headset and the stuff on your body acts as the iPhone. It will just have, I don't know if that will entirely happen, though, unless you also have virtual reality glasses, but you might. And so you might see the existing form factor of the phone disappear, but this was the real turning point that has really made the idea of having computing with you all the time a permanent part of our lives. We're not going back. It may change in form, but we're always going to have that.
Not going back. 10 years ago, the first iPhone was sold. Hiawatha Bray made the prediction that it would make a huge difference in our life, and it did. He writes for the Boston Globe. Hiawatha, thank you as always.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks a lot.
Stay with us. Coming up, how the Red Sox impossible dream season turned Boston into a baseball town forever. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.